Access number 28676. This is Jack Ball, Real 10. Now, when you'd finished your tour, 33 in your case, what were the options before you? What was going to happen to you?
I didn't know, quite frankly. The navigator and I had applied for transport command, and we received a posting to Canada, which I thought was possibly transport command, but it turned out that when we arrived in Canada at the on the west coast, we were destined for the Burmese Bomber Command, basically, which was flying Liberators, consolidated B-24s. They were the Americans were turning them out at one every hour, I think it was alleged at the time. Willow Run was the famous factory that was turning out 24 a day.
Now, how did you react? We've got your leave to come, but how did you react when you found that?
Well, on the trip over to Canada, we were surprised at the number of gunners that were available on our draft, because we thought we were going to transport command, and there seemed to be a multitude of gunners around. And when we got there, we...
Now, which ship did you go on? Do you remember?
I think it was the New Amsterdam, I think, which had German prisoners on board.
Is that the funny spelt new?
Yeah.
And where did you pull into at Canada? Halifax.
We pulled into New York, I think.
But you were going to Canada?
Yeah, we were.
Now, what was the voyage like?
It was enlivened by these German prisoners who were making all sorts of iron crosses and things, fake iron crosses. It was the Louis Pasteur. It was the ship, Louis Pasteur.
Oh, Louis Pasteur, right.
Yeah. That was about 8 days or something.
And this is in January, would this be January or into February?
This was March, actually.
So you had a bit of
been hanging around, yeah.
Now, how about the German prisoners? How did you get on with them?
Well, some of our lads were detailed to guard them, but I wasn't involved. So the relationship was a bit distant, quite frankly. I wasn't involved in guarding them, and you dealt with the guys who were guarding them, and they, as I say, they were sort of flogging iron crosses and bits of uniform, etc.
Now, what happened when you got to New York?
We went on leave to Boston.
More leave?
Because they, we landed at Moncton, we were taken to Moncton, which was the personnel, you know, the personnel centre, distributed to the ships, and had an intake from the ships. I'd been there before, of course, and we were detailed to take a draft. I was detailed to take a draft of officers over to the West Coast, which gave me an opportunity to look up friends in Winnipeg, etc. But then we finished up in a place called Boundary Bay, which was an operational number 5 OTU.
That was an actual posting?
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you got there?
We started to train on Mitchell's B-25s. They were North American aircraft, a very good aircraft.
And what were their characteristics like as compared to the things you'd flown before?
Well, they were tricycle undercarriage, which was a very good thing in my mind.
Why? What was better than that? Why was that you were used to?
Well, yeah, it's the tricycle undercarriage was it was easier to taxi, for one thing. It was easier to land, in my opinion. You didn't have to be quite so accurate. And the aircraft had a different attitude, you know. You were sort of, you climbed into the aircraft and it was straight and level. Whereas with the tail draggers, it was, you had a big slope to climb up.
Number 502U, that was whereabouts in Canada, was that?
Boundary Bay, that was very near Vancouver. In fact, one arm of the bay goes into the States. So it's right on the border.
So, and you were just basically tuning up with the Mitchell, were you? Did you have any of your other crew with you, or just...
No, I had a new crew.
Do you remember
just
about that?
Just a navigator.
So your old navigator was with you?
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember your new crew?
Yeah, sure. It's we went on to Abbotsford, a place called Abbotsford, which is, I think, a big housing development now.
In Canada?
In Canada, which was further inland.
Still number 502U?
It was still 502U. But we converted to Liberators there, which are much bigger aircraft, and we had we got all the gunners there, of course. So we had five gunners. Had a crew of 11.
So what did you think of the Liberator?
Excellent.
Tell us a bit about it.
It could climb to 30,000 feet, which was a lot higher than we'd been before. It had a tremendous turbo power arrangement, whereas you just twiddled a knob and that cut in the superchargers, which made it climb much better. It was very roomy. The seats were comfortable. I don't think it was as good a plane as the Lancaster in many ways. I mean, it didn't carry anything like the bombs, but it had a tremendous armament, you know. I mean, you had...
Had they rather sacrificed bomb load for armament?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Which was... They were designed to fight their way to a target, you know. They were all 0.5 machine guns, as against the pellet shooters we had.
Now, how was the Wellington Lancaster better then? So it carried a better bomb load. Anything else better?
Had much better bomb load, and it was. I felt it was sturdier. Yeah.
It would take more damage.
It would take more damage. The Liberator had a very thin wing, and when you were taking off, the wing tips came into sight, and only when you got, when you were airborne. Otherwise, that made a big impression on me, that the wing tips coming up into view. So it was a very thin wing, and I think maybe that's... I've seen pictures of Liberators with their wings shot off, you know, one of their wings shot off. So
what happened next then? I mean, you're doing this. How long are you at Abbotsford? Boundary Bay and then Abbotsford?
Yeah.
March till?
April, 28th of April to 10th of August. And which was about the date the atom bomb was dropped. So we were due to fly to...
Now, hang on. What was your reaction to VE Day then? You'd be there for VE Day. How did you react to that? Or was that just taken as read by then?
Oh, that was a big celebration.
Tell us about that.
I'll tell you what I remember of it. We went downtown and there was a tremendous celebration in Vancouver, and I finished up on a tugboat in the harbour with various members of the crew, and I had two or three members of my crew with me, and it was a pretty good time. I remember one of the guys went out and swimming in the river or in the harbour, which caused me some alarm, but it was a good evening, and the streets were full of, just packed with people shouting and screaming and that sort of thing.
How did you feel then about the prospect of having to go and fight in Burma, Japan, you know? Did it worry you?
I felt neutral about it, quite frankly. It was something that had to be done, I guess, and having lived through the European War, I thought it would, if anybody bought it, it would be somebody else, of course. But it was, I was looking forward to, I wasn't really looking forward to going and fighting the Japs, quite frankly, but it's something I accepted, it had to be.
It didn't worry you unduly then?
No, I remember I went out and bought a knife. I thought it might come in handy in the jungle, sort of thing. But fortunately it didn't come to that, and they cancelled our flight to Burma. And
What was your... it was cancelled... Your post cancelled... The post was cancelled due to VJ Day. Yes. Dropping in the atomic bomb on VJ.
That's right.
How did you feel about that?
How I feel about the bomb?
Generally about it.
I was very relieved, quite frankly. It struck me as being... it would save millions of lives, because I don't think the Japs would have been a pushover the way they were carrying on. And so I was very happy about it.
What about your crew? I don't know if you remember, you want to talk about the second crew. We haven't talked about them much yet. How did you get on with them? Who were they, you know?
I had mostly second tour people. I've got a list of them here. The Liberator training was very excellent, it was interesting, and because my engineer was an ex-London Bobby, who was found to be too tall for the target, for the turret, he was sent home, and I didn't have an engineer, so I had to learn everything about the aircraft myself, which interested me, quite frankly. It was a very complicated aircraft by our lights, but...
What was complicated about it?
Well, the systems were complicated. At least I learned more about the systems than I did in the Lancaster, because, having no engineer... I learned all about the hydraulic system and how to repair it, basically, or how to keep it going. The electrical system, the oxygen system wasn't quite as good as the one we'd had in the Lancaster. But, there were four turrets in the thing, including a ball turret underneath, which... you had to have a little guy to go in it, So I had my own navigator with me. I had a second pilot who was a newly qualified sergeant pilot. The bomb aimer was experienced, and the two wireless operators were experienced.
Two wireless operators?
Yeah, they carried two wireless operators. They doubled as gunners, you know. We had five gunners, two of whom were experienced men. They were both warrant officers.
And was it a mix? Were they British or Canadian?
They were all British. All British.
And how did you get on with them? I mean, you'd had your first crew. How many? How did you get on with your second crew?
Yeah, I was very happy to have them. They were all quite good lads. I think there were three gunners who had no experience really, apart from the gunnery school. But they were excellent. You know, they did their job. And
now, what kind of preparation training had you been doing on the Liberator? Was it any different from what, you know, the sort of practice bomb runs and cross-country work you'd done with the Lancaster and thing? Was there anything different about the training? Had they moved on?
No, basically it was the same various training with cross-country, but the only thing that was different was the formation flying, which we practice.
Now, tell us a bit about that, because that is new. It's not entirely new, but no. Was there a bigger concentration on it?
Yeah, there was bigger concentration on formation flying.
This is because they were made for daytime operations?
They were made for daytime operations. I don't think that they operated in Burma like that, although they may have done at times. My impression was that it was sort of single missions. But anyway, we did formation training, and we learned to the theory behind the formation training was that you would echelon left or right depending on which way the attack was coming. The idea being to bring all your guns to bear, the formation guns, which were, you know, with all those guns on board, the .5s, that you could put around a pretty good barrage, actually. If you expose your broadside, it was quite heavy.
Anything else about your time at Boundary Bay in Abbotsford?
No, it was enjoyable. It was nice to be. I mean, they had a number of accidents there, but unfortunately killed a few people. But
anything you remember in particular, or were they just sort of a backdrop?
Well, we had a, at Boundary Bay, we had a Liberator colliding with a Mitchell on the runway. They were all killed because, you know, one of them was just about to get airborne, and so it made quite a mess. Anyway, we were planned to go to Burma, but we didn't, fortunately.
So what happened in August then? You'd finished your time at 5OTU.
Yeah.
And then it was all cancelled.
And we went to Montreal for one day. We were rerouted to Moncton again, and then we took the New Amsterdam, NIEW Amsterdam, on the way home. I remember that when we got to, we came into Southampton that time. When we got to Southampton, the banners read, "Farewell to our American friends." And of course, we sailed from Boston, I think.
Anything about the voyage? I mean, it's peacetime now,
but it was peacetime, so there wasn't that sort of nagging anxiety that possibly you would get sunk. I think it is in Boston it said, welcome to our American boys or something, and naturally enough. And so we felt a bit forgotten at that. Then I went back to Harrogate, and
that's just the holding there.
Yeah, sure. It was.
How long were you there for? That was what, this September by now, would it be?
Yeah, 20th of September I arrived, and I left. I stayed there about a month. Left on the 23rd of October, but I had a series of one-day postings, as far as I can see, and then I was posted to 231 Squadron at a place called Full Sutton, F-U-L-L Sutton, which was in Yorkshire, not far from York. And
what about that? What were you doing there?
Well, we formed a new squadron, 231 Squadron, which were all experienced pilots, and I still have my navigator with me. They were all ex-operational people, and it was intended to form a long-range VIP squadron. I think it was a pipe dream of Empire, you know, sort of thing. I don't think we could afford it, quite honestly.
So you'd be taking VIPs around the world?
This was the intention. This is what we were told we were going to do. And we were on Lancastrians, which were a sort of civilized version of the Lancaster. All they'd done is take out the turrets and put 9 sideways facing seats in and a big fuel tank. And it had a streamlined nose, of course. But I think after a few days, we went through various courses.
What type of courses?
Beam approach, Babs Rebecca, which is a landing device.
How did that work?
That was radar. Had various aerials around about the nose, and it was beam approach, in basically. We went on a fortnight's course for that at Bramcote. Then I had a series of one-day postings by the look of it.
So how long were you with 231 Squadron?
Oh, I had very little time, actually.
Just October to November-ish? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the book is not quite clear on that one. Well, I was there for. I arrived there in November at Full Sutton, and I was gone again by March.
Oh, so you were there quite a while.
Well, it was interrupted by these short courses, you know, various beam approach courses and etc. Which there were two, which they were probably about a week each. Yeah, so we took 2 weeks out. Then I was posted down to Stradisor.
To where?
Stradisor. Stradisor. Stradisor.
Who was there?
That was 51 Squadron. Which were, they were flying Yorks.
What was a York like?
The York was, I thought it was a good aircraft, personally.
Why? What was good about it?
Well, it had the same characteristics, handling characteristics as a Lancaster. It was just a high-winged Lancaster, really. And
what do you mean by high-winged?
The wing went through the roof. And so it had a big square fuselage underneath, which held about 30 passengers or freight.
Now, were you now with Transport Command? Is this a Transport Command squadron?
I guess it was
a previous one also meant to be 231.
I guess that was Transport Command. Well, it wasn't organised like that in those days, you know. It's as I remember. I don't remember any conscious passing from Bomber Command to Transport Command. Or training command.
What were you meant to be doing with 51? What was the role of the squadron?
They were training us to fly Yorks. So I was about a month there.
Till March to April, or into May, perhaps.
It was split a bit, I think, but we were actually left there in August, so.
So 3 or 4 months on and off.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months on and off, and then I went to 511 Squadron at Lynham in Wiltshire, Lynham, in Wiltshire. Where I stayed.
And this was which squadron?
It was 511 Squadron. It was a Transport Command flying Yorks. I think it's still there.
Now, what was your role then with 511 Squadron? Well, obviously, you know, but.
I was one of the pilots. And we were basically flying to on a regular run to either Singapore, Delhi, or Cairo. In other words, the longest trip was to Singapore. Every landing place was it was what was called the Empire Air Route in those days. Every base was manned by the British, sometimes by force of arms, I think. We went out through
what was the route?
We went to Egypt, originally to Cairo. That was changed during the course of my time because the Egyptians were objecting or being objectionable. I still have the same navigator, generally speaking. He flew with me most of the time. But the rest of the crew, we had a second pilot and a wireless operator and an air quartermaster who looked after the tea, etc. Looked after the tea and passengers. We went out through Egypt generally, on to the Persian Gulf, Persian Gulf to India, through India to Singapore, if necessary. Then we came back the same route.